Homily 54, Children as Gift. Hagar bore Abram a son, Ishmael. This morning's first reading focuses on the rivalry between the allegedly infertile Sarah, who would later give birth to Isaac, Jesus' forefather, and the taunting maidservant, Hagar, who gave birth to Ishmael. Both Hagar and Ishmael were eventually driven out because Isaac was to be the seed of the covenant between God and his people. As I prayed over this text, I thought of the mighty warrior Jephthah, the Gileadite, who had promised God that if he were victorious against the Ammonites, he would sacrifice the first Israelite he met on his way home. The unfortunate person turned out to be his daughter. But she told him, "Fulfill your vows, but also allow me to spend 2 months in the mountains to mourn my virginity." When some students snicker when I tell this story, I remind them that for a Jewish woman to be barren was the ultimate shame. In some ways, a living death, the ultimate curse, reflecting God's supposed displeasure, holding the woman up to the ridicule of all. And this is still true in some parts of the world today. We have Africans here doing dissertations and theses with regard to women in certain parts of Africa who are not married and how they are treated. So they're childless. Burden. Sarah so suffered until she gave birth to Isaac in her old age. The only positive statement we find in the New Testament concerning infertility is when Jesus prophesies Jerusalem's approaching doom. His woeful beatitude, "Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never gave birth." I know a marvelous woman here at Boston College who was told by doctors that she would never have children. The sheer joy on her face when she related to me that one morning, after 7 years of marriage, she exclaimed, "I'm pregnant." She now has two lovely children. Years ago, a former graduate student came to see me. It was evident that she was pleasingly pregnant. She told me that doctors advised her to abort, because the baby would be either born dead or live only a short time. With an incredible peace that only faith in the crucified and risen Christ can give, she and her husband decided firmly to have the baby. A few months later, she met with me again. The baby had been born, baptized, and named Elizabeth, another gospel woman, supposedly barren. Baby Elizabeth died a few weeks later. A funeral was held. Elizabeth was buried. That young woman's faith touched me deeply. I got an email, in fact, this morning, this very morning, about a woman I know who the unborn in her womb is dead, and she will have to have a cesarean. Now, contrast this view with a woman I knew who used to date my best friend. She told me privately that she would never marry him because he wanted children. And if she ever became pregnant, she would commit suicide. Of course, women now have other means of handling that situation. Men and women normally have a natural desire for marriage and to have children. Pope John Paul II called this the spousal meaning of the body, that all human persons, by their very nature, are intended for the spousal gift of self to another, in love, and in a way that brings forth new life. I've known many infertile couples who spent much time and money to become fertile. So, isn't it paradoxical that the incarnation totally bypassed one aspect of the spousal meaning of the body? Mary remains a virgin. Jesus never marries. He was ridiculed, insulted, as being a eunuch, for not being married, for not having children. An unmarried Jewish man was almost the equivalent of a murderer because he did not add numbers to his people. With respect to something foreign to human nature, Jesus proclaims, "Blessed are those who embrace celibacy for the sake of the kingdom of God." The apostle Paul was also celibate and taught, "I say to the unmarried and to widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am." We know that those called to celibacy for Christ and his kingdom, like those called to marriage, are called to the spousal gift of self to another and to be fruitful, but to give life in a spiritual way. St. Thérèse of Lisieux describes her profession of vows as her wedding day, and that her religious life would result in many spiritual children. Many saints and mystics also spoke of their spiritual fecundity. So in tune with this morning's reading, be we married, single, or celibate for the sake of the kingdom of God, let us rejoice in our vocations and for the new life we bring into this world.